Amanda made it too. Amanda?
I heard my name.
I heard.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that.
Might as well keep one out for the burn.
I know.
I got it right here. I figure some mothers have gone to be with their families, and or their families are over with them, and that usually happens on Mother's Day. It's interesting, you go to an older church, and the older church, everybody's at the older church, where most of the people are older, because they've come to see their mothers. The younger churches, they're all gone to see their mothers. So we're sort of halfway, a little bit more halfway, younger than older. But I'd like for you, if you would, I'm going to read some scripture for you. And it is about what God has called us all to do and to be individually, but as mothers as well. Our scripture this morning, living in peace is our message in Colossians 3, 12 through 17. I'd like for you to turn, if you would, if you have your Bibles. One of the things I'd like for us to, even though we have the scripture up here, basically, I want to remind you, the scripture up here is for those who visit, those who can't find a Bible, those who don't have a Bible. I would like for you, as often as you can, to open your Bibles. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone or anyone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to be peace. And be thankful. Let's see how far I went. Let the message of Christ dwell in you and among you, which you richly as you teach, admonish one another with wisdom through hymns, psalms, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, and whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Mothers, the greatest adornment that you can have according to the Scriptures is the adornment that is described here at the beginning of our Scripture, which was, put on the, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We're going to be talking this morning about how to do that and how to have a life that is in peace. We live in a world that is so hectic, such a struggle, and all you need to do is turn on the television and watch news, and you see how bitter and hateful people are today against whoever, that you are being challenged today to be at peace in the midst of this. And I want to share with you how you can live in peace. We not only want peace in our church, we want peace in the homes in our church. We want peace in our community. We want you to be an advocate, you to walk in peace. Now, I want you to know that you can do that, and God wants us to do that. He encourages us to do that. He commands us to do that. There were four graduations I had keyed in on yesterday and Friday evening, and three in my family, and then Brianna. Let's give Brianna a big hand. She graduated. Meredith is no longer going to be the same now that she's leaving. It's going to be a big downturn for Meredith. But anyway, it was a good weekend. I went to UNCW's graduation on Friday evening, and it got over late, so I stayed. And Saturday morning, we went to the beach, and I just sat on the beach. Now, one of the things that I don't understand it, for some people, they say, I can't stand the beach. It's sandy, it's hot, whatever. For me, the beach is the greatest place in the world. I don't know what it is, but when I sit in a chair on the beach under a beach umbrella, and the breeze is hitting me in the face, and I hear the sound of that constant rumble of the ocean, I am renewed. Amen. I am cleansed. I don't feel like the same person as when I sat down in that chair. I think it's the rhythm of the ocean sounds. It's being in nature. It's looking out, and all you're doing, basically, there was nobody in front of me, nobody swimming. I was seeing nature. The foam and the salt water and the cleansing effect, I felt all my burdens lifted. And I felt like I didn't have any. And as I did that, I said, you know, God doesn't just want us to run to the beach to find peace or release. He wants us to live it daily through Him. I see so many people beating it down to the beach, and I understand they've had a rough week. They want to go down there. They want to sit, and they want to have all of that stuff released. But I want you to understand that in Christ Jesus as Lord of our lives, we can have that same feeling daily, and we can walk in it. I found that there was a magazine. It was a Time magazine. I went up and looked at it, and when I looked at it, I got mad. I was on my trip down on the coast. By the way, for those who don't know, I had the eighth graders all week long at the coast of North Carolina doing the Outer Banks history trip thing. And so I looked, went in to get some food for our kids, and I looked, and on the magazine counter was Time magazine. And this Time magazine, would you do me a favor? I have a briefcase in my room. Could you get that magazine out of there? It's Time magazine. I think I want to show it to you. It hit me, and when I looked at it, I got upset. I said, "Give me that magazine. I'm going to take this thing, and I'm going to read it," because basically, it was saying that science, this is called The Science of Good and Evil. And I went, okay, so science is going to give me the answers to good and evil. Pierre, could you shut that front door, please, sir? What makes us moral? Good deeds, bad deeds, understanding the dark side and where it comes from, the beast within us, diagnosing the disease called evil. My collar was sort of steaming around until I started reading it. And I spent the better part of my last day just reading this. The roots of good and evil. Science is going to tell you what the roots of the good and evil is. But as I began to read it, and as I looked at it, I began to say, wait a minute, was this written by a Christian who is doing it under subvertedly so that when you read it, he's got you locked if you're one of the atheists or you're a scientist-minded, sociological, secularist. But in there, it all said and it all turned to God. He never said it turns to God. But it all turns to God. It all turns to God. Because science says we can't figure out where evil comes from. Ah, duh. Would you like to know? Even in one article it says, no one yet has figured it out. Okay? I want to quote a couple of things. In an article by Jeffrey Kluger, The Science of Good and Evil, he says, humans, it seems, are guided by some moral grammar, a primal ethic structure on which decency is built, just the same way as our language is built on syntax, tenses, and conditional clauses. In another article, What Makes Us Moral by Kluger, he says this, the madness of the human species lies in the fact that both of the qualities, savage and splendid, can exist in one creature, one person, often one instant. A growing body of researchers believe that all of us carry a sense of moral grammar, the ethical equivalent of basic grasp of speech that most linguists believe is with us from birth. Excuse me again. And are these scientists going to ever catch up with God? No, because their words, their theories, their solutions all dance around the concept of God, but never approach God. Throughout this article that I read, you are brought constantly back to a war that rages inside of each of us between good and evil. In one article, it says, it seems evil has us in its grip. We call it sin nature. It's biblical. In an article, Where Demons Play, in the magazine, it speaks of science of the brain and how it functions. How did studies of prisoners, and most of them did not have the same brain functionality as the average person? They seemed to only feel for themselves, but could not feel for anyone else. The prisoners' brains seem to have been short-circuited here. The brain actually is changed in its operation and its effects on not only emotions, but physical properties. One of the studies, however, was interesting. It spoke of a particular change in the mind of someone. You remember the Khmer Rouge, the regime in Cambodia, where they were violent. As a matter of fact, they killed 1.7 million people of their own people, brutally. They would do things that are so brutal today we can't even imagine. They especially like to do it to babies. But as I read about this Khmer Rouge in this article, in one of these articles in here, it said a young man became a Christian. And when he became a Christian, his name was Kang Gyek Eve. He became a Christian and publicly then began to apologize for his actions. There are those that said he did not just seek to save his hurting conscience, but it was as if his mind was completely changed. As I've been studying and thinking about and watching this, the mind is a place that's susceptible to an inner battle that is in each of us. It is a battle for supremacy. Who will rule you? I declare to you that the battle is between your human nature, sin nature, and the nature of God that if you're a Christian is trying to win. For the person that is not a Christian, it's his conscience that God has given everyone. Those are the what is said here and what is I have found here in this particular is the fact that the world cannot understand exactly what's going on, and they try to figure it out as some kind of brain function. But the brain is affected. Your mind is affected. Your heart is infected by evil. But what is evil? Where does it come from? How do we stand against it? How do we overcome it? And more importantly, how do we keep it from transforming us into a mind of evil? You know, when we hear about all these different incidences where someone is killed or someone in Charlotte shoots people, it's getting to where we look for it every weekend now almost. And we are amazed that another incident happened. What is going on? Well, yes, there is some copycat there. But I believe that evil has become rampant because evil has become a part of our society. It has begun to become interwoven in everything that we see and do. And it is so interwoven that it begins to reshape the minds. Actually, in one article, it says that your brain begins to operate differently when you have evil in you. It doesn't even operate like normal people's brains. So they believe that's the problem. They've got to get the brain working back the right way. Well, the only way the brain is going to work the right way is when it is redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. For by his stripes we are healed. And that's the only healing that's going to take place. It's not going to be because some doctor is going to infuse drugs in my brain or cause anything to be changed in my mind or any psychologist to sit down with me and try to figure it out. It's not in the cards. You can, in one of these articles again, it said, you can't change most of these people once they reach a place. Ah, but we have found some people can be changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to know that Paul even dealt with this. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18 through 20. For I know that the good itself does not indwell me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good what I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin that dwells within me. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are in warfare. If you become a Christian, doesn't mean the warfare is over. It only has just begun. I don't know why it is, other than it seems real simple, that when you become a Christian, he's lost and he's going to try to make you fail so that you will not be a good Christian witness. But he's lost. He knows he's lost, but he still comes at you. And there's still the war, the sin nature within you. Did you know that when you become a Christian, you still have a sin nature? It doesn't leave us. Sin nature's still there. We have the Holy Spirit to rule over that sin nature. I've had people say, well, I was born that way when they're participating in a sin. They say, it's comfortable for me. Well, because it's comfortable for you doesn't mean it's not sin. Because you were born with it doesn't mean it's not sin. We have a sin nature, and I believe for many people the sin nature comes from generations ago. You know, the scripture says that our sins are passed to the third generation. But also, there are blessings passed to the third generation. God revealed to me, and I've shared this with you before, but God revealed to me a while back that I kept saying, God, why are you blessing me so much? I mean, I'm not that good. Why are you blessing me? And God revealed to me that there was some grandfather, I'm not sure which one, but some grandfather that had pleaded mercy over me from generations ago for his children and his grandchildren. And because of his blessed life that he lived and because of his life that he gave, I am reaping the blessings of his life. But just like I can reap the blessings of his life, I also reap the sins of past generations. I do. You know that's true. You have a baby that's born with a mother who's been on drugs, and you know that baby reaps what the mother has sown. How many of you have ever sat there and go, oh, I hope my child doesn't suffer what I got. I hope they don't have that sin in their life. I hope they don't, the sin that I committed doesn't impart itself on my children. All of us have, but that comes from Satan, who wants to get us down and wants to make us wallow in pity and grief and guilt. We are in a warfare. In Romans chapter 12, 2, though it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Notice that. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Your soul that is led by the Holy Spirit has a desire to do what is right. But if you give your mind to things of this world, to be conformed to this world, it will not allow your spirit to lead you. You will be led by a pagan mind. You will do pagan things when you get in the right situation. As a matter of fact, I don't know what your method of deterring or staying out of sin is, but mine is, are you in? I run because I know my flesh is weak. I run. I go in grocery stores, and I know where there's counters where I don't go near. I run to the other side of the store. I know there are places where I go where I don't. They say, do you want to sit at a bar? No, I don't want to sit at a bar. This is not good for me. I will sit somewhere else. I run. There are things that you have got to do to keep your mind pure and holy and constantly right with the Lord. And if you do, your mind will be at peace as your soul is at peace with Christ. But if you're being conformed to the world, you will be in such anxiety and fear and guilt and worry. You see, the mind is either controlled by your flesh or controlled by the spirit. And the only way for it to have peace is to be controlled by the spiritual things of God. How do you find peace God wants you to live in? When you walk in Christ Jesus in his way, you find peace that passes understanding. But we are to put on the things of Christ. Now, I want to talk to you a minute about putting on. How many of you get up in the morning, and when you get up in the morning, you say, I don't care what I wear. I don't know. I've got some nasty breeches here that I'm going to put on out in the garden. I'm going to put those on. And that t-shirt with the hole in it right here in the belly, so the belly sticks up. I'm going to wear that. Because I really don't care. And then you go to work. Who is the first person to greet you? Your boss. But if you are in Christ Jesus and you are putting on the garments of praise and worship, ladies, I mentioned that at the beginning, the spiritual beauty of Christ, if you're putting that on in the morning and if you go out for the day, you're going to walk in peace all day long. And the more peace you walk in and the more days you walk in peace, the more your mind is going to be transformed into a mind of peace. I said that to say this. When you get home, you take off your clothes. When you get in the morning, you put your clothes on to impress, but in the evening, you take off your clothes and you relax. So keep this in mind. This is the secret. In the morning, put on spiritual clothes. When you come home, take them off because they've gotten dirty during the day and you need new spiritual clothes tomorrow. I've got a pile of clothes in my room this time from this week being on the road. I'm not going to wear them again. I took them off, ready to wash. Do you know what is amazing in this book? This book, in one of the articles, it says, men are made to repent. We are made to repent. Why? Because it cleanses us. Just as I went to the ocean and sat there and took the time to sit there and let my mind unclutter and be cleansed, so our minds need to be cleaned. And the way they are cleaned is we repent. Now, what is repentance? It's when I get home from a day and I look back at that day and I was ugly to a man I'm trying to work with, ladies, you went to the shop and you got cheated out of something and you went back and you let them have it. There was a man that was supposed to be there to fix your plumbing and he didn't come and you're ready to tear him all to pieces. And all of those things that you remember back during the day, you need to repent of them. You need to take those clothes off and wash them and clean them. You need to change. In the evening, it's repentance time. I've heard people say, I start the morning off by repenting. That's too late. You should have done it in the evening so you get a good night's sleep. You come home, you repent. You get up, you put on new clothes. Spiritual clothes of faithfulness, goodness, and kindness, and love, and patience. How do I do that? I have found, for me, the Word of God is the best way to do it. The Word of God is so powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. It just cuts deep. And whenever you read the Word of God in the mornings, and now I know that some people say, I don't have time to read the Word of God. I know. First thing I get up, my wife says, here's your list. Before you leave to go to work, you know how it is. But if you're going to put on spiritual clothes, I'll tell you another great one. Listen to a spiritual song. Get a chorus on your iPod and put the earphones in and just let that run through your head. Listen to the words and the praise of God. And I promise you, it will be like new clothes that you're putting on every morning. It will reshape your thinking for the entire day. And as you go out, your mind will become the mind of Christ. We need to take time to do what we need to do. You need time in the morning to put on the things of Christ. The garments of praise, the garments of blessing, the garments that he wants us to put on. And you need to take time in the evening to repent, to take off the clothes, to get them washed, and to start the evening right. If there's someone you need to call and say, I'm sorry, do that. This particular young man that I spoke about in the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia. He said this. By the way, none of these Khmer Rouge people were indicted or put to death or even guilty. They just disappeared into the woodwork. He didn't have to come forward. But when he became a Christian, he stood up and he said, I was a part of that. And I want you to forgive me. He asked for the nation to forgive him. For the whole nation of Cambodia. Now, let me tell you something. There are a lot of Cambodians that could come after him to kill him when they find out he's the one of the ones that did some of these atrocities. Yet he had to repent. I want you to understand we have to go to people we have offended and say, I'm sorry. If you come in the next morning, you walk into the office and you say, Jill, let me tell you something. Yesterday I was a little short and I want to apologize. I was not right. Can you forgive me? Yeah, you're starting your day off right. I believe you need to start every day putting on the spiritual things of God and end the day by taking off the garments that are dirty. Let us learn how to do that so that we can walk in peace with the living God. I want us to bow our heads right now.
If we're too busy to find time.